الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Honorable listeners, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this opportunity to share a message wherein we generally discuss the lives of the illustrious Sahaba radiallahu anhum. But on this occasion, Allah's fazl, Allah's mercy, Allah gave us the opportunity of performing Hajj. What a ni'mat of Allah ta'ala. So we felt that let's share aspects of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Hajj and what lessons we can pick up from our Hajj. Seeing the time of the year being Hajj and our focus and every believer's heart is connected to Baytullah throughout. Allah says, وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا. When we made the Bayt, the Kaaba, something to which the heart is connected. And Kaaba is a place of returning. Meaning a person visits Baytullah and he leaves. He just gets home but he's missing Baytullah again. This is the speciality of Kaaba and the speciality of Baytullah. So wherever we are on the earth, that's why even a believer in the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah imitates the Haji. Especially that person who is making Qurbani, he does not clip his nails and so forth, and clippings and underarms and pubic areas, because of imitation of the Haji. Because the Haji is the guest of Allah Ta'ala. So really this is something very, very great. Through or because of respect for that, and because our hearts are connected wherever we are in the earth to Baytullah, we'll have a discussion in this regard. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, throughout his period of prophethood, during the Meccan period, would every year, yearly, without exception, make it on the plains of Mina and Arafat and Muzdalifah. But interestingly, what would Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do during those early Meccan stages? What would he do on these plains when Hajj was not fard upon the Ummah yet? It was a period, the Meccan period, wherein the laws of Sharia predominantly came in Medina Munawwara, even though there were a few laws revealed during the Meccan period. But what was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing on these plains continuously, yearly? He was going from person to person, tent to tent, tribe to tribe. The Arabs, being from the offspring of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was the Nabi of Allah thousands of years before, who came to that region, who was sent by Allah to that region, the son of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Hajj was legislated from that time, and the Arabs had this in them, but the spirituality of it had been lost. So they would come and perform the rituals, but it was predominantly based on shirk. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go to them, may yu'wini, may yansuruni, lakay uballigha, kalama rabbi, risalata rabbi. Who would give me resort? Who would be my supporter? Who would come with me so I can convey the message of Allah and take it to humanity? Who would be my support in this regard? And people would refute him, people would reject him. Minhum man tafala, minhum man hatha alayhi turab, minhum man sabba. They would sway him, they would refute him, they would pelt on him, they would reject him year in and year out, to such an extent that they even told him, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how many times are you going to give us the same message? We heard you out last year. Nay, we heard you the year before as well. Won't you just stop? But Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not stop. And he would continue. And he would repeatedly explain to them. He would go to them in their congregations. He would go to them individually. He would invite them to Allah Ta'ala, using every opportunity to call them to Allah. To such an extent that they would actually label him with different names, like being insane. He would go to them and this would hurt him. So Allah reveals verses of Quran consoling him. مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ نُون وَالْقَلَمْ وَمَا يَسْطُرُونَ مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah says, by the fazl of your Lord, you are not majnoon. Your reward by Allah is unlimited. غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ will never be cut off. غَيْرَ مَمْنُون also means that what you have done for humanity as a service by bringing khair and goodness to them, no one can ever repay you for your ihsan on humanity. And O my Nabi, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Your akhlaq, your character is impeccable. Allah says this to Rasulullah and gives him solace.
Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu says, I saw this Nabi of Allah being person to person, person to person, person to person. When I find out who it was, I was told it was Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like this, repeated reports in history, in the ahadith, where Sahaba at that time, even before embracing Islam, say, describing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going to the different tribes. Read it in Hayatul Sahaba volume 1, how Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make the gusht and make the effort among the different tribes. The recount of all these tribes and the incidents are presented there in the volume 1. It's something very, very interesting. As an ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for us to know what our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through for us, for humanity to get hidayat, for humanity to find success, for humanity to find salvation. Finally, this happened continuously. Then Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab would take turns to pelt him and insult him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would invite a tribe to Allah. As he would complete his message, Abu Lahab would barge in and would say, don't listen to this man. I am his uncle. I know more of him than you. So he would now spoil whatever efforts Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put in. He would now, turn people against him. So then they would say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if your own uncle is saying this, then we don't want to listen to you. On occasions they would do this. Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl would do this, then people would chase Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam away. On occasions he would get onto his conveyance, they would pierce the flanks of his camel and the camel would throw sallallahu alaihi wasallam off. On occasions they would pelt sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much that his heels would be bleeding on the same plains of Mina and Arafat. Finally, the 10th year came in, as we discussed previously, and how the Ansar accepted. Then the 11th year, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met those six youngsters near the Aqaba and he invited them and he approached them and they accepted, and alhamdulillah the change started. That led up finally to the Hijrah, and this we indicated to in the previous couple of weeks. Alhamdulillah. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's efforts continued with great qurbani and sacrifice in the Medinan period. Throughout the Medina Munawwara period, then came a time where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees Baytullah in a dream and he was yearning to come to Kaaba. And then he announced with Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and Sahaba radiallahu anhum came, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to perform Umrah, and that occasion he was barred from performing Umrah in the 6th year. That was known as Sulhul Hudaybiyah. And this was also Allah Ta'ala training the Ummat, that Allah Ta'ala knows when things should happen. Allah Ta'ala will let us do certain things. Allah will give us what we want, but Allah will make it happen in the right time. So the Muslims could not perform Umrah. So they were down. Allah revealed the verses of Quran. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. We gave you a clear victory. As they returning, Sahaba asking, was this a victory? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, Sulhul Hudaybiyah was the greatest victory. It was a truce where there's complete ceasefire between Makkah and Medina. And this Sulhul Hudaybiyah that took place in the 6th year became such a means of interaction between Muslims and non-Muslims, that now when the non-Muslim had to confess to the existence of the Muslims and they had to deal with them, they saw their dealings, they saw their ways, and alhamdulillah, hundreds of and thousands of people embraced Islam in the short span. So right from the beginning of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's efforts right till the 6th year, if you count and calculate how many Muslims, maybe 4,000, approximately 4,000-5,000. But in this 2 years, from 6th year to the 8th year, when Makkah was being conquered, the people marching to Makkah Mukarramah under Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were 10,000 strong. So in the short span, more people embraced than the entire 19 years prior to this. So Ajib, Allah Ta'ala gives people hidayat in amazing ways. And then that was the 8th year. Then the 9th year came in. The order of Allah Ta'ala came for Hajj in the 8th year or the 9th year. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructs Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to go, because in that year, the dates were not apt, because the Meccans used to change the dates according to their fancies. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went to as Amirul Hajj and went with certain teachings to guide the people and so forth. Then the 10th year came in, and Allah's command came for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to perform Hajjatul Wada'. Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced that he will be going for Hajjatul Wada'. Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum gathered from all different regions and all different areas.
And many joined him from Medina Munawwara. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performed Dhuhr Salah in Medina Munawwara on Saturday. Either it was the 26th of Dhul Qa'dah, or different views, maybe the 25th. And he left, and he made it in Dhul Hulayfa at the time of Asr. He performed Asr Salah in Dhul Hulayfa, and there he spent the night. And there he had his blessed wives with him. He spent time with them. And ulama mentioned under this that it's mustahab before going into ihram for one to have relations with one's partner. And this helps a person because sometimes ihram can take a very long time. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mercy that he fulfilled the rights of his blessed wives, Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiyallahu anhum. And then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam again performed ghusl on the next day for ihram. He donned the ihram, he performed his salah in the masjid of Dhul Hulayfa, and he made niyat of Quran. He recited labbaik, he got onto his conveyance, he recited labbaik, and Sahaba radiallahu heard him. He went on a high mountain, he also recited labbaik. On different occasions, Sahaba radiallahu heard him reciting the labbaik. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to him and said to him that this valley of Aqiq is a blessed one. Perform salah here and put ihram for Hajj and Umrah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam chose to be a qarin. He performed Quran. And after he performed his salah, he read the labbaik. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to instruct Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to say it to the Sahaba, to encourage the Sahaba, to instruct them to recite the labbaik loudly. And this is also a great sunnah. Sahaba radiyallahu anhum were reciting the labbaik very, very loudly. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq in today's times also, whenever we go for Umrah and go for Hajj, Allah give us tawfiq, we should recite the labbaik profusely. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked, what is the best amal of a hajji? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, al-ajju wa-thajju. For one to recite the labbaik with love and passion and loudly. For men it's loud, for women it's soft. And then Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, to shed the animal for Allah Ta'ala, to slaughter the animals for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. Traveled via Malal, is a town he passed. Then he went via Ruha. In Ruha, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed salah there, and he said 70 anbiya alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam performed salah here. Then at this place here called Araj, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's servant who had kept the goods, the luggage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, at this place he was nowhere to be seen. After some time they found that he arrived, but he didn't have the goods with him. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was very, very upset. Why was he upset? That his servant now is causing taklif, meaning someone from his people are becoming a means of taklif for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah's Nabi, so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was upset at that. He was very upset. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, "Oh Abu Bakr, let the anger pass. Don't become upset. Don't become angry." Sa'ad radiallahu anhu and Abu Qais radiallahu anhu, they brought their camel laden with goods and requested Rasulullah SAW, please accept our goods, O Nabi of Allah. Allah's Nabi SAW said, no, don't worry, Allah bless you all, with Allah's grace, Alhamdulillah, our goods have been found. Alhamdulillah. And like this, they carried on. There's different reports in history where they went via Abwa, Usfan, different regions, different areas. Finally, when they got to a place called Sarif, Aisha radiallahu anha was very emotional, she was crying. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to her and said, what's wrong? She said, no, my entire journey has now been hindered. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, oh, is it because what happened to you is Allah's decree? Allah Ta'ala decreed this for the children, for the daughters of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam pacified her and explained to her that this is Allah Ta'ala's will and there's khair in it and her hajj will still continue and so forth. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained to her how she will perform her hajj. Then they reached a place called Azraq, the Azraq Valley. Rasulullah ﷺ said, I see before me now the moment when Musa ﷺ passed this way for Hajj. His fingers were in his ears and he was loudly calling out the labbaik, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wal ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika laka. Respected listeners, the meaning, the beautiful meaning of labbaik is so ajeeb, so ajeeb. Labbaik, O my Allah, I am coming. I am responding to your call. Open your doors for me. O my Allah, I am coming. And labbaik has dual in it. It's like a repetition. I'm coming. It's the slogan of the lover. In one labbaik, there's emphasis. Imagine how many times labbaik is repeated in the one dua. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika laka. There's four times labbaik is repeated. And in each one there's so much of emphasis. And then innal hamd, verily all praise, all favors, all blessings and bounties come from you. The entire dominion belongs to you. La sharika lak. Allah, you have no partner. There's nothing that does. There's nothing that assists you. Everything belongs to you. There's la sharika lak. And Allah not having a partner is also emphasized in this dua. See, it's such a slogan of tawheed and the love of Allah Ta'ala. It's really, really beautiful. Continued their journey, and finally the next Sunday they entered Makkah Mukarramah, which was approximately the 9th day of travel. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered, they went straight to the Masjid al-Haram, kissed the Hajar al-Aswad, and started tawaf. Nabi sallallahu didn't perform tahiyatul masjid, which is the normal case with the other masajid, but in Masjid al-Haram, the tawaf takes the place of the tahiyatul masjid. Performed his tawaf, performed his sa'i, and then he went to his residence, and he remained in Makkah Mukarramah for four more days. Then in the morning of the 8th, of Dhul Hijjah. The 8th is known as Yawm al-Tarwiyah. At the time of Jast, after approximately Ishraq, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then headed for Mina. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who were making tamattu' at that time, put on their ihram, and they also were along with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and Fajr is performed. And at that night of Mina, Suratul Mursalat, the famous surah in the Quran al-Kareem, was revealed. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Fajr Salah, and after sunrise they proceeded to Arafah, and that was Friday. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Arafah. Sahaba radiallahu anhum had pitched a tent for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Arafah, in a place called Namira, which is known as Masjid Namira. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mounted there, he got there, he stayed there for a short while, and then he went in the direction of the valley of Arafah, and there he gave his famous khutbah, the khutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this khutab, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated one famous statement, or one statement of his, that denoted that he would be leaving this world very soon. He said, "O my Sahaba, O my Ummat, perhaps you shall not see me again after this. After this, we might not meet again at this place." And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this khutbah wherein he highlighted very, very important aspects. He said, "What day is this? What month is this? What lands are these?" This was a point, a question repeated by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout his khutbahs of Arafah, of Mina. He's asking the ummah, what day is this? What month is this? What lands are these? Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu were expecting a different answer. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded, these are holy lands. This is a holy period. This is a holy city. So just like these places are revered and respected, Allah Ta'ala has given honor and respect and value to the life, to the wealth and the honor of every believer. Meaning, like we have to respect these regions and these places, we have to respect the ummah of Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to respect each other to such an extent that on one occasion Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at the Kaaba and he said, "O Kaaba, how beautiful are you? Ma atyabaki wa atyab rihaki. How beautiful is your fragrance and how sacred are you?" But the mu'min has more sacredness to Allah than you. How valuable is the honor of the Kaaba, and how valuable is the honor of the mu'min. Allah give us tawfiq to respect each other. This was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's one of the highlights of his khutab, where he repeated this, wherein in his one khutbah in Mina, he repeated and said, "La fadla li arabiyyin ala ajamiyyin, wala li ajamiyyin ala arabiyyin, wala li ahmara ala aswad, wala li aswad ala ahmar, illa bit taqwa." O my ummat, whether you Arab or non-Arab, that does not make you superior. Whether you white or black, it doesn't make you superior. It means nothing. What makes you closer, what makes you superior is your taqwa. Because if you want your color or your race or your background to make you superior, remember, kullukum min Adam, you all are the same. Your father is Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And remember, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was created by Allah by soil. So soil does not make you superior. It is your love for Allah and your obedience to Allah is what makes you superior. Some other lessons highlighted by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this khutbah were, sallallahu alayhi wasallam highlighted other aspects in his khutbah. That inna lakum ala nisaikum haqqa, wa li nisaikum alaykum haqqa. You have certain rights over your wives and vice versa. You fulfill your dues and the woman should fulfill their rights. Islam gives rights to each. Interestingly, the word male is repeated in the Quran Kareem 23 times, female 23 times, indicating to equality, equality between the two. That's why in the human embryo there's 46 chromosomes, Y and X, and this is actually referred to by the number 23 and 23, which is the amount of times that male and female is mentioned in the Quran. Each one has their right. Islam teaches us to treat the next with akhlaq and character. Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, how was sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he came home? Aisha radiallahu anha said, he came home with a brimming smile, dhahakan bassaman. Allah give us tawfiq to emulate the beautiful teachings of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One fulfilling the right of the next, obedience to obedience and kindness and akhlaq and character, and working together to uplift deen in our home. Allah give us tawfiq. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also spoke of, and also very importantly, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said to his wife, oh my wife, and this is something every one of us should learn from. He made a deal with her. He said, sometimes you will get upset, sometimes I get upset. Let's work together. When you are upset, I will not get upset at the same time, but I will try to cheer you up to the best of my ability. And sometimes you see me upset, do not get upset at the same time, but you should go out of your way to cheer me up, like I will go out of my way to cheer you up when you are upset. And like this we'll work together. Otherwise, if both of us get upset at the same time, all the time, then لَن نَسْتَحِبْ, our relation will never last very, very long. Allah give us tawfiq, that like this we work together. We should correct each other in a good manner, work together to improving each other. Nisa, Allah Ta'ala says, هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنَّ. Your wives are your garment and you are her garment. Like that, you protect each other, you cover each other, and you conceal each other's faults. This was highlighted by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on such an occasion like Hajjatul Wada. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlighted the harms of riba, that riba is totally abolished, usury. This is something that has to come out of our lives. Allah Ta'ala save us. Mufti Shafi Sahib rahimahullah explains the harms of riba, what destruction it brings, that even an empire that's based on riba won't last for more than 40 years. Allah Ta'ala save us from riba, that this should come out of our life. So these were some aspects highlighted by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave this khutbah, then performed dhuhr and asr salah, and then he spent his time in dua. He made so much of dua, so much of dua, so much of dua, so much of dua from that time after his khutbah and salah, and then continuously dua, which is approximately for more than 5 hours, right till sunset, to such an extent that Ummul Fadl radiallahu anha, my respected listeners, you should know this sahabiyah, we have discussed her. Her name was Lubaba radiallahu anha, the second foremost woman to embrace Islam. She was wondering, is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fasting that the entire day he didn't have anything? So just for the ummah to know and to have this knowledge, she sent for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam some milk to see if he's fasting he won't drink it, otherwise he will partake of it. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam drank the milk before sunset. That means he was not fasting. What was his dua? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made different du'as, but his main dua was, oh Allah, forgive my entire ummah, forgive the entire ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was begging Allah for the entire ummah's forgiveness, asking Allah, pleading with Allah, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to such an extent that he wanted Allah to forgive the oppressor of the ummah also. Oh Allah, you can reward the mazloom and give him an increase, and the zalim, you can forgive him also. So much of mercy and pity Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took upon his ummah. That Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, that such a Nabi Allah gave you, azizun alayhi ma anittum, that when something hurts you, it's very, very painful for your Nabi to bear. What hurts you is hard for your Nabi to bear. Harisun alaykum, your Nabi wants good for you. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ, and is most compassionate and merciful and kind to the believers. We were just sitting with some brothers one of the days recently from Manchester, and this one is speaking about his sports, and that one is speaking how my team is like this. So I said to them, my young friends, you know, those people who we like to emulate,
and admire, and we attribute ourselves to them, make nisbat of them to us and vice versa. Those same people, if they see us on the street, they won't even spit on us, because they think that their spit is too valuable for us. Where they'll want to know us, where they even care for us. But that individual who loved us so much that nay, not every day, in every salah he made dua for his entire ummah. Such a Nabi, when he would see his ummati, he would come to his ummati and show love for his ummati. On his deathbed and leaving this world, he cried for his ummat. On the day of Qiyamah, he'll be interceding for his ummat, looking for his ummat to give water to drink from his hawd, from his special pond named Al-Kawthar. Such a Nabi with compassion and mercy, who will cry to Allah and who said to Allah, oh Allah, how can I ever be pleased if I see my one ummati go to Jahannam? Such a Nabi of Allah. Aren't we supposed to be affiliating ourselves to him? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After sunset, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was waiting for one sahabi. Others were wondering, who is he waiting for? It was a young sahabi of African origin, Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, meaning his mother was from Abyssinia. He came. Sahaba radiallahu anhu were following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and were very happy. This was an honor Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to Usama radiallahu anhu. His mother was that individual who was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam most in this worldly life. Ummu Ayman Baraka radiallahu anha, we have discussed her before. Allah give us love for Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Some new people there commented and said, how can Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hold everyone up because of this young individual here? And such utterances, when were said, you know, with disrespect, such people after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, such people became murtad. Allah ta'ala save us. We learn to watch our words, think before we speak. Think and ponder, otherwise our words can have a repercussion. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam travelled with Usama radiallahu anhu on his camel qaswa. On the way he needed to relieve himself. He relieved himself, then water was given to him, he performed his wudu. Then sahabi asked him, would you perform salah? He says, no, salah is in Muzdalifa. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then continued. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, all his life, he performed, when performing his hajj, he would stop there exactly where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relieved himself, and would relieve, not because he needed to, but because of emulating Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completely. Allah give us tawfiq. Sahaba followed sunnat because it is sunnat. Because my Nabi did something, Sahaba believed that we must do it that way. Allah forgive us. Our temperament today, no, it's only sunnah. We take sunnah to be something that doesn't have to be done. Look at Sahaba's temperament and our temperament. What a change, Allah forgive us. How destructive can our temperament be at times when we can say, no, it's only sunnah. And our tone advocates disrespect or something of lesser importance. Allah forgive us. The sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is what is most beloved to Allah. We have to be careful when we utter or make such utterances. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued. Finally, when they reached Muzdalifah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam collected the pebbles were collected. He performed Maghrib Isha, and that night was spent. Allahu Akbar. What a night is the night of Muzdalifah. What a night is the night of Muzdalifah. And then Fajr Salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then, after Fajr Salah, a slight wukuf, and then he departed. The mushrikeen of Makkah used to, and the Quraysh, and the different Arab tribes, they used to depart after sunrise. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go contrary to them, and he left before sunrise. And then he continued. When they passed the valley, on this leg of the journey, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with a sahabi, Fadl. Fadl bin Abbas, the same Lubaba we discussed who sent the milk for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is her son Fadl radiallahu anhu, and he had a chance and opportunity to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this leg of the journey. They passed the valley called Muhassar. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam increased the pace of his camel. Why did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam increase the pace of his conveyance? It was because they were passing a valley, Muhassar, exactly where Abraha was destroyed with his army, those that were coming to demolish the Kaaba. We learn from here, when Allah's orders are being broken at certain places, we are not to be there. Believers are not to participate on occasions or places that are in contrary to the orders of Allah Ta'ala, to the Shari'at of Allah Ta'ala's deen. Allah Ta'ala save us. That person who participates in batil and falsehood, or the one who hears about falsehood or haram taking place and becomes happy with it, he is considered and in the list of those who participated. Kana kaman shahidaha. And the one who was there but was upset and tried to stop it, he will not be in that list of those who participated. Allah make us of those who bring khair to the ummah. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam continued, this is the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, known as Yawm al-Nahar. He went straight and pelted the jamarat. What lessons in pelting the jamarat? Allahu Akbar. The haji pelts the jamarat, and so much of enthusiasm in this, there's so much of thawab in it. Allah Ta'ala forgives the person. All the gunas are forgiven by Allah Ta'ala, forgives for every pelting one major guna. And also such an opportunity for a haji where he pelts this jamarat, and it's a lifelong lesson that, oh Allah, you help me to take guna out of my life completely. Something interesting also happened, that one woman came to ask Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a question, and then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Fadl radiallahu anhu, oh Fadl, don't look. Obviously a sahabi, he would have looked with the correct intention that of nikah, but Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, on this day the one who preserves his limbs, Allah Ta'ala forgives this person. My respected listeners, then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spent the 10th in that busy schedule of pelting the jamarat and then slaughtering the animals. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to slaughter 63 camels. He slaughtered with his own mubarak hands. In the riwayat of Abu Dawood, these camels were hastening towards him to be sacrificed at his mubarak hands. And then he went to remove his mubarak hair. He made halq and he distributed his blessed hair to the ummat sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he went to perform his tawaful ifada, his tawaful ziyara. This tenth was, and then Rasulullah SAW returned to Mina. He spent the days, the 10th, the 11th, the 12th. He spent these days and nights in Mina. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. What were khutbahs, what were teachings he gave the ummah on these occasions? But there's so much of lessons for us in performing Hajj. Ajib, speaking to different hajis, speaking to different hujjaj. The haji is the guest of Allah. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he, whatever he asks Allah, Allah Ta'ala responds to him. Allah Ta'ala will grant him his wish. Allah will accept his intercession on behalf of the ummah. The hajis we spoke to, it's ajib, at some leg of the journey, respected listeners, you get lost somewhere, you get confused somewhere, and you become totally disheartened for a moment, and then you turn to Allah, and how Allah Ta'ala helps. Allah Ta'ala puts the haji through an amazing qurbani and through an amazing tarbiyat, where Allah Ta'ala, one amazing lesson of hajj is, one is out to learn the love of Allah. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ. This is a journey for Allah. This is a journey towards the love of Allah. This is a journey for the pleasure of Allah. And some leg of the other, a person becomes totally reliant that, oh Allah, what can I do without you? This is the main realization of hajj, where a haji realizes how much we need Allah. For every breath we take, we need Allah. For every sip of water we swallow, or morsel we swallow, we need Allah. For every finger, to lift the finger, we need Allah. We can do nothing without Allah. Our limbs will function only with Allah. So this hajj is this lesson of this throughout the journey. Another lesson of hajj, Umar radiallahu anhu would say that عَرَفْتُ رَبِّي بِفَسْخِ الْعَزَائِمِ. One of the ways by which we recognize Allah is, if I want something to happen, it doesn't always happen like that. It only happens as Allah wants it. If I wanted something and Allah wanted it to happen like that, it will happen. But many a time we want something to happen in a certain way, and we try our best and we utilize every means, but it doesn't happen as we want. Sometimes the haji wants to make it early at Muzdalifah to enjoy that scene of the stars and resting on the earth, the earth being your bedding and the skies being your roof, and it's such a humbling experience. But sometimes the person is yearning for that. Allah makes it such that a person got delayed in the bus and he didn't even make it properly, or didn't get much time to actually experience that night. Sometimes the person gets delayed in the bus and didn't make it for a long period at Arafah. Sometimes the person wants something and something else happens. There's so much of lesson in this. And we also see how the Sahaba radiallahu anhu would emulate sunnat. We have to bring sunnat in our life. You know, Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah was on his deathbed when that alim enters and he asks him, how do you know after which pelting of the jamarat do we make dua and which one we don't make dua? So this person said that when you are riding, this person explained it, in a certain way. So both times Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah said, no, incorrect. Then he said, please explain. So he said, when you are on a conveyance or you are sitting and pelting, then after that pelting there isn't dua. But when you are on foot, then after that pelting there is dua.
And he proved it from Rasulullah's life. On the 10th, Allah's Nabi was on his conveyance. After pelting the first Zamrah, he didn't make dua. And from the days of Tashriq, the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, after pelting the first two Jamarat, Rasulullah made dua when he was on foot. This Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah, this great Imam, on his deathbed he explained this. What importance they gave to Sunnah, even though they were leaving this world. Allah give us tawfiq. One amazing lesson of Hajj is what Hassan Basri rahimahullah says, that Al-Hajjul Mabroor Laysa Lahu Jaza'un Illa Al-Jannah. The Hajj Mabroor, the reward of it is Jannah. And then he said, what is the sign? What is the sign that a person's Hajj was Mabroor? He said, أَن يَرْجِعَ زَاهِدًا فِي الدُّنْيَا رَاغِبًا فِي الْآخِرَةِ, that the Haji returns home and he's abstinent in this world. How much of love he had for the world, now his love for the world has decreased. Sorry, his love for the world has decreased. رَاغِبًا فِي الْآخِرَةِ, and his inclination and his love for Akhirah has increased. Then he said that the reward of Hajj Mabroor is Maghfirah, is forgiveness. Allah forgives a person. Because the hadith mentions this. He becomes like a newborn baby. So he said, Ayatu Dhalik, the sign that Allah has given this person his maghfirah. May Allah give us this maghfirah. Hassan radiallahu anhu says, Ayyada'a sayya'a ma kana alayhi min al-amal. A person goes back home and his deeds are different. The wrongs that were in his life before Hajj are no more part and parcel of his life. He is now a changed person. He is now like that newborn baby. That's why the Haji removes his hair completely, imitating that scene of that newborn baby. Allah give us tawfiq, you know, to take the full benefit of Hajj. And also a request for the whole Ummah. The Haji has to make dua for the whole Ummah. The Haji's intercession is accepted on behalf of the entire Ummah of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's really, really, something else really amazing we noticed in the Hajj was throughout the Hajj, Allahu Akbar, there was so much of muhabbat, so much of compassion, so much of mercy, so much of respect. Imagine 3 million people approximately, Allah knows the entire amount, 2.5 million or so. Millions of people, but no fighting. You wouldn't find much arguments, consideration, care, respect, sharing. Even the police were pouring water on people, helping people, assisting elderly, sprinkling them with water, greeting them with salam. It was something magnificent, and it was so encouraging that the ummah of Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam has so much of khair in it. There's so much of good in this ummah. There's so much of respect. There's so much of love. Like the poet expresses this so beautifully. Ya akhi fil hindi aw fil maghribi, ya akhi fil mashriqi aw fil maghribi, ana minka anta minni anta bi, la tasal an unsuri aw nasabi, innahu al islam ummi wa abi. Oh my brother, wherever you may be from, whether from Hind, India, whether from Mashriq, whether from Maghrib, whichever country you may be from, ana mink, I am from you, you are from me, we are together, we build each other, we make each other. Our mother and father is the same. You don't have to ask me my lineage or my background or my color or my race. That is of, it's not of primary importance. The most important thing is Islam is our mother and father. Islam is our mother and father. We strengthen each other, we there for each other, we care for each other. And this is the lesson of Hajj, that you help the next person, not because you know who he is. This is what Islam is. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, greet the next person even though you don't know who he is. Show him love and compassion and make dua for him. Islam teaches that if your own brother oppresses another person, you have to be with the mazloom, even if it may be against your own brother or father or mother. This is the beautiful justice and teachings of our beautiful deen. When Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked, how do we get Hajj Mabroor? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ifsha'u Salam, wa it'amu ta'am, wa leenu al-kalam. You want Hajj Mabroor? Spread salams. You want Hajj Mabroor? Speak to people politely, respectfully. You want Hajj Mabroor? Feed people food. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Allah accept our Hajj. Really, it is too beautiful. Allah Ta'ala take the entire ummah of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for Hajj again and again. So many benefits in Hajj. Barakallahu feekum wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimeen.